All right. Good morning. Leanne tells me that she actually forgot that Monday last week was a public holiday, so she very nearly was here on her own.
Yeah, I realized at about 5:30 in the afternoon.
On Sunday.
That's when I realized that the next day was not work and Monday. And I'd been anxious for 12 hours that day because of Monday. So I had a bit of rest, and then I had to be anxious for the next 12 hours on the next day for the Monday,
you know,
or the Tuesday.
Tracy's mom would tell you to just calm the fuck down.
What would Tracy's mom do?
Right. Tracy's mom is like, she's going to be our ChatGPT from now on.
But I reckon, because Tracy is an intelligent person.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of, let's say, intuition and facts.
She's right.
And she's one of those people that you were mentioning saying just know stuff as well.
Yeah.
Just know stuff.
You've got to know some stuff. And I also think that our education system is completely the wrong way around at the moment, because we know that there are people. There was this guy who used AI to draft his final kind of thesis for him. And he was even at his graduation with his laptop showing it off, going, this is how I got my degree. And I don't know that person knows anything.
Mm.
He probably knows a little bit, but these days you've got to question a degree. You've got to look at the way that a degree is gotten and think, is this a means and a result which I trust? And probably the answer is no for a lot of these people. I don't think that, unless you're sitting opposite someone and you ask them questions about their field of expertise, and you are able to interrogate them, either because you have more knowledge or because you have the same level of knowledge, and you evaluate them based on their answers to questions that you're able to put to them in first-person contact, I just don't trust anything else.
It's almost like slowing down a bit and thinking about how textbooks work.
Yeah.
So you would read an entire book on the thinking of one person, one expert, and then let that absorb, develop your own opinions, then read the next one.
Yeah. But especially if it's around a certain subject, and that's what people get degrees in. So when you start off at basic education levels, primary school, even you could argue nursery school, then primary school, then high school, you steadily get into more niched areas. You steadily start to expand your knowledge into less general and more specific fields. Right, so you start off at primary school, you have to learn how to add and subtract and multiply and divide. And you have to learn to spell and to read and to write. Those are basic things, and that's very important, because without those, you're not going to get to the next level.
It's the three R's, reading, writing,
and arithmetic.
And arithmetic.
Okay, cool. And then when you get to high school, what used to be just adding, subtracting, dividing, and multiplying becomes calculus, trigonometry, geometry, algebra. And the reason you do those things is to develop your capacity for logic. And it allows you to understand the world in numbers, and you're able to calculate things. Your maths may be as shitty as mine forevermore, and you may need calculators for that stuff. But it does teach you about the most important patterns that make the world make sense. And then you could end up doing biology and chemistry and physics and accounting, if that's your thing. And, you know, you again, in language, it gets more complicated, because now you learn about poetry and prose. You learn about the great authors. You get to appreciate truly magnificent works of art in terms of use of language. And if you don't understand language properly, I don't know how ChatGPT is going to help you, because you don't know how to put the right question in. Even if it does become, and it's not far off where it becomes an artificial general intelligence, you'll still need to interact with it using language as your system. Language becomes the means through which you communicate with a thing. And I don't see how that's going to work for people who don't know how to use language.
Yeah,
so you've got to know stuff.
You can't say, can you help me with the thing that I need to do?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know how to describe the thing.
And stuff.
I don't know a lot about anything, but I know a little about practically everything, says Peter Laurie. Okay, yeah, that's probably...
We've always argued that that's what you needed in order to be a DJ, for instance, on a radio show. You need to know a little bit about everything.
Yeah, and probably in most businesses, that's what, you know, the people who are in charge know a little bit about everything. But you've also, this is what we'll talk to this guest of ours in a short while about, you have to trust your intuition sometimes. And that's difficult to identify. Is it my intuition? Is it a, I don't know, is it a thought that hasn't found a home and it's just bouncing around in my head? Mm-hmm. How do you know it's your intuition? We'll get to that in a short while. The brilliance in recognizing the patterns that lead to calculus and DNA structure, says Chris. Well, I mean, that's very specific, DNA structure. But it's amazing how many people make breakthroughs. I think Crick and Watson made their breakthrough after they'd done LSD or something.
Mm.
I don't want to be wrong on this fact, if it is a fact. But the double helix came to them after they'd done some drug.
Yeah, you've got to
sometimes
alter your
that's
thinking.
Your breakthrough, yeah. Absolutely. Gareth, you're forgetting theoretical physics, transcendental geometry. What school did you go to? Transcendental geometry?
Wow.
I'm at a loss. And as for theoretical physics, this is the stuff that keeps me up at night now. I want to know what all the subatomic particles are, what they do, what their charge is, what their mass is, how they create matter, what the opposite of that is, what's in between matter. These are the things that I'm interested in, but I don't claim to know everything, and I will use whatever tools are at my disposal to try and figure it all out. We used to have to use books. It was like an effort to acquire knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you had to burn, Dr. Hanan said just now, had to burn a lot of energy to learn because the stuff wasn't at arm's length. You couldn't just type it in.
No, you'd have to maybe go on a course or ask for an interview with an expert.
Or join a library. Okay, these are things you had to do. You had to join a library or talk to someone who knew more. Or, I mean, you couldn't even, to get the kind of course material, in inverted commas, that we have available to us every day, there weren't podcasts where you could hear the smartest environmental scientists in the world talk about carbon dioxide levels or the greening of the earth. I heard yesterday a guy that I was listening to on a podcast said the earth is 17% more green now than it was in the 1980s. Mm. We have 17% more green vegetation across the surface of the earth than we had in 1980.
Is that because we use less paper or because people are planting more plants?
Partly because there is more carbon dioxide, which is plant food. Plants thrive where there's more carbon dioxide. And, you know, the global warming people, the climate change people will tell you that the carbon dioxide's the problem. Well,
yeah,
not for plants.
It's created by humans.
So there's partly that. There's also the reforestation of huge parts of the world where we used to chop down trees and burn them or turn them into paper, as you put it. Maybe paper's a big part of this. I don't know. But 17% more green vegetation on planet Earth. So it's looking good. If you're a plant, this is a time to thrive.
Wow.
But that's, to me, the sort of pattern that you need to be able to pick up on. Those are the sorts of things you need to know about. And you'll only know about them by searching for them. You know, there is information on everything. Such valuable stuff that you can look for and learn. And people are just, like, most people are, nah, I think I'll just watch a series.
There's a very high level of disinterest and low motivation to become completely entrenched in something. And that's affecting the younger generation at work.
Oh, yeah?
Where you're not able to fully identify with the brand that you are working on and the brand's tone and the products that are available. And having an innate interest in, well, what are other people doing around the world that are similar to this brand?
Well, I think those...
It's just like a checklist.
Those people have to realize that just as their job is to them disposable and they can move on to another job and they are agnostic as to which job they end up in, right? It's just a means to an income. Mm. They are also disposable because the kind of people who think that way are easily replaced. You know, if you work in a shoe factory, I wonder what you think of this. Tell us what you think in the comment section. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are. If you work in a shoe factory your whole life long, and maybe your dad worked in the same shoe factory, and maybe, you know, it's three generations of shoe factory work, but you know everything. It's almost, it doesn't require any thinking on your part. You almost intuitively know what to do when you're put in front of your bench with your little cobbler's tools, and you've got limited time and you churn out the maximum number of shoes just because you've worked there your whole life long. That's what you do. That's what you know. In a knowledge economy, it's easy for you to be replaced by an AI platform. It's easy for you to be replaced by someone else who uses the technology slightly better than you or slightly more quickly than you do.
Or a machine that can do it.
Yeah, or there's probably going to be a machine. I mean, robotics is the other part of the world economy, which is just growing in leaps and bounds. And it won't be long before you're replaced. So if you're just a meh person, you're just like, this is just a job. I just need the salary. I don't really care about this at all. I'm just going to do an average job so that I can get paid. Then you're a meh person, you're going to be replaced. I've got very bad news for you. Tick fucking tock. You're going to be out of there soon. And no one's going to hire you, by the way. You're going to be in that part of the economy where people are like, well, meh you. We don't need you. Meh. Right?
They'll look at your CV and go, meh.
Right. That's what people are going to do. Oh, shut up, Leanne. You're fully immersed in makeup influencers, says Carl.
Makeup influencers.
I have no idea what that is, says Bitcoin Boots. Okay, when you say I can do this blindfolded, it's time to move on to a new project. Maybe, but you know, there are people who have skills that are unbelievably useful, and the more skilled they are with their hands, and it requires just practice and practice and practice. It's like someone who knows how to hit the perfect golf shot. Someone who knows how to hammer something in. It's someone who knows how to connect the right wires to the right things so that things work. I mean, those are sometimes best. They're best shown by people who've done them the longest. Best exhibited is the word I was looking for. By people who've done them the longest. And I think that's terrific. We need those people. We don't need the people who are doing the mid-thinking, mid-wit type thinking that can be replaced by machines or can be shown to be nonsense by the higher thinking people, and the lower thinking people have stopped thinking. Those are the people who are the least useful in the modern economy, the middle of the road ones, the meh ones that Leanne and I were talking about now. Well, Gareth, who better to know how it feels to be in someone else's shoes than a shoe manufacturer? And if they're wrong, the shoe's on the other foot, says Carl. Frank Lloyd Wright said, find something you love doing and only do that. Yeah, and then Frank Lloyd Wright went on to design some hideous buildings.
And then he died.
Yes, well. JP Morgan already have more than 80% of their funds managed by AI with a human supervisor.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all good and well until the political landscape changes or until some massive innovation happens. I mean, you would not have bought, and anyone who tells you they would is a liar. You would not have bought Google shares back in the day. I mean, there was a guy who was, I think, a 10% shareholder in Apple when Steve Jobs and Wozniak started the company. This guy had 10%. He would have been worth hundreds of billions of dollars right now. But he decided at some point, look, this is not for me. I'm out. On a whim, intuition, gone.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, he made money elsewhere. He's not a complete failure. But if he just held on to that share of Apple that he had, big money. Big money. So it just shows you. I don't know. To be able to learn something new is one of the best skills to have. Christian Buerta. Okay, so I've always maintained, and I don't want to gild the lily or carry on about this for too long. I think that intelligence is not just how much you know. We were talking about you've got to know stuff, but it's also how much you want to know, which, again, is related to what Leanne was saying earlier.
Curiosity.
So you got to be the kind of person who wants to immerse yourself obsessively in something. And it doesn't have to be a serious subject. It could be the hottest chili sauce available. Mm-hmm. You want to find the best chili sauce on planet Earth, and you're obsessed with that. Now, let me tell you, there are people who will outsource their sauce to you if you're the person who loves chilies the most. And you do all the tasting, and you travel the world, and you find all the different menus and mixtures and recipes, and you eventually become the chili sauce expert. Please believe me, there are going to be a lot of us in the world who will go, we need to know what that guy knows. And because we never can, you've done all the work yourself, we will just use you as a proxy to get to the best chili sauces. We'll trust you.
Is the problem then not that you can ChatGPT what is the best chili sauce and take shortcuts?
Maybe you can, but this has to do with taste. This has to do with you actually having the experience of it. And I will not trust a machine to tell me what tastes best.
Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet. There may be a time.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with Star Wars, so I accept that somewhere in my future they're going to be droids. I would love that to be true. And some of the droids in Star Wars are very, very clever and are able to do very cool, useful things. But they don't taste and they don't feel. Mm. And there are a lot of things that they can't do that we are going to have to rely on humans for a little bit longer. Not forever, but for a little bit longer. And when it comes to the most delicious chili sauce on planet Earth, I'm going to ask a human.
Yeah.
I might use ChatGPT to find that human, but that's what I'm going to need him for. And if you are curious, to go back to this point, if you're curious about the world, if you're interested in being alive on planet Earth, then you are intelligent by definition. If you want to know things, you're intelligent by definition. It is not the person who knows all the things that I regard as being the smartest person, but the one in the room who asks all the most interesting questions. That's the most interesting person to know. Okay, there's a guy who tastes ice cream for a living, says Goon. What a job. Huh? Just sitting there just tasting fucking ice cream.
I saw the South African awards for ice cream recently.
Oh, yeah?
And surprisingly, because you know you've got all these artisanal types of ice cream now.
Yes.
And I thought it would be one of those. And surprisingly, it was like a Clover brand or some of those brands. Yeah, that was just the stuff that we've been eating since
partial
the 70s
and the 80s. I'm partial to a good ice cream, huh? That's still a fun thing. The big tub.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Right. You're not talking about the fancy ones that you buy at a garage that are in the freezer that are different chocolates made into ice creams.
No, it was a plain Jane. What's that other brand? Ola?
Yeah.
One of those.
Right. See if you can find out who it was who won.
Yeah.
Okay, instead of selling actual chili sauce, can't I just bottle acid and sell it in the shop? Yes, you probably could, Slippery Pickle. I just don't know how you can get that past the cops if they do come a-knocking. Fun fact, Optimus will have the full range of human taste senses. Again, fantastic. Are we going to be able to account for differences in taste? Some people like spicy things. Some people like hot things. Some people like sweet things. Some people like sour things. Are we going to be able to account for that? I don't think we'll be able to build a model that perfectly reflects your specific tastes or mine or anyone else's. Not for a little while. And the kind of computing power will probably be extraordinary in order to put together the perfect taste palette for Leanne Moll, for example. They do say that smell is the most complicated one for us to map, because we can pick up thousands of different smells.
Mm.
Tastes, there are only a few. You know, it's got to do with where on the tongue it hits: salty, sweet, bitter, sour. There are specific places that sense those and that give us the sensation of those.
The South African champion ice cream.
Oh, yeah?
Polar ice cream.
Polar?
Yeah. Just polar ice cream.
Don't even know it.
Five titles.
Okay.
It's a, I mean, I recognize the logo.
Okay.
But it's a tubbed ice cream. It's not a...
Okay, so it's just the normal, what, vanilla?
Madagascan vanilla.
Fantastic. That's the one I like. I am very, my whole family hates the fact that my dad and I just like vanilla ice cream. We will not eat chocolate or...
mint or...
pistachio or any of these funny things. It's just give us plain vanilla.
Mm.
Boring, huh?
Well, maybe
that's what we like.
Maybe you're onto a thing.
Yeah, vanilla is a flavor, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, it's an actually very good, nice, lovely, terrific flavor.
It's an actually very good, nice, lovely, terrific flavor.
Yes, it is. It is. It's all those things that I just said. You know what the nicest smell is?
Also vanilla.
Vanilla.
Mm.
Best smell. Can't compete with that. Don't bring me your banana flavored bullshit. Vanilla.
However, if you put vanilla in a fragrance, it often doesn't do very well. Very polarizing, vanilla in a fragrance.
I think that they also did some research a while ago, which I can barely remember, about what the most pleasant smells are. And most people.
Mm.
I don't know what the number was. Most people like the smell of vanilla. Mm. Nobody liked the smell of farts. Nothing beats a Gatti Sherbet Suckers. Okay. That says Chris. Madagascan vanilla is the best, says Toki. Yeah. Is Biden's job tasting ice cream? Yes, it was for a little while, because he certainly wasn't presidenting. To know what something is like is innate to consciousness. Can consciousness be programmed? That answer would prove or disprove the deepest question, says Wade. Yeah, that's good. Mapello says, he says, polar ice cream is excellent and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Women are turned on by vanilla, says Goon. Is that true?
Could very well be.
Turned on. All right. Slippery Pickle says, it's all in the curing, or is that the weed? No. I don't think we're talking about ice cream anymore. Okay, very good. Apparently there's a job, Smiley Face says, where you can smell armpits for a living. It's like for some cologne company or something?
Yeah.
It
would be an antiperspirant.
That would be a horrible job. That's the worst job. If you had me tasting ice cream all day, I'd be fine.
And I mean, you have to. If you're going to roll out, pardon the pun, a roll-on antiperspirant.
Yeah, you got to smell whether people stink after a while.
You've got to let them sweat and do the tests.
Freshly baked bread and freshly cut grass are right up there for the best smells.
Yes.
Absolutely. And coffee. You know, even if you're not a coffee drinker, there is something that smells just so fantastic about a fresh, freshly ground coffee cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's just the best thing. Woolworth Triple Caramel, says Hanmin. This is her favorite ice cream. That does sound good, I won't lie. But I'm a fan of the vanilla.
Mm.
Let's go with that. Freshly cut grass. Okay, best smell is groin on a hot day.
Oh. What's wrong with you?
Carl, you need Jesus. Richard says vanilla toilet spray is terrible when it mixes with number two.
It is.
Oh, that's terrible.
But any of those things.
Oh.
You need an odor neutralizer, not another odor.
Yeah.
To smush with it.
I love the smell of WD-40, says Slippery Pickle. Yeah, that's the
Oh, that's pretty intense, that smell.
That's a strange smell to love.
And it gets everywhere.
Yeah, that's a very odd one to like. I think we've covered a few of them. I also kind of like the smell of chlorine in a pool. Not too strong.
Not out the bucket, but once it's in the pool.
And you know, like the stuff that, not bleach, but a kind of sodium hypochlorite smell. It's the same as, it's not as strong as a pool.
Like a clean smell.
Yeah, it's almost like that. Stuff that they use in a whole lot of household cleaning sprays. You know, it's a very clean smell.
I like the household cleaning products that are like pine scented.
Okay.
I like the foresty type vibe.
Okay. Yeah, I like chlorine. It's a good smell. You know, nothing There's no bacteria growing there when it smells like that.
Well, like petrol's another one.
Petrol. Some people love the smell of petrol. Some people can't stand it.
Yeah.
James, have you got our guest yet?
Not yet.
Okay, you'll let me know. All right. I'm lucky enough to. I'm sure everyone's waiting on bated breath for you to do sport. Yeah? Okay. I'm lucky enough to run a central kitchen that involves a bakery and a gelato lab where I get to taste all sorts of new flavors and baked goods. Ooh, that's cool. And her name is Nitakila. Mm. Wow.
Sure.
A lot of people like the smell of petrol. Very strange. It is strange.
But it's only my favorite some petrols. There's one, I don't know if it's leaded or unleaded, but there's one that really smells, but the rest are weirdly good.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Burnt hair is Cloud Sounds' favorite smell.
Horrible.
Favorite smell, burnt hair.
When your
hair.
Dog runs by the heater. And it happened to my cat.
I like the smell of farm manure, says Bitcoin Boots. Ooh, box of matches is the best for the toilet. Apparently that gets rid of all the smells. But the smell of a match lighting, some people like that too.
Yes.
Because it's phosphorus pentoxide. P205. It's that white smoke that comes off from the red phosphorus when you light the match. A little bit of sulfur dioxide too. But that's the smell that you want. And by the way, that phosphoric acid that you make from phosphorus pentoxide, you find a little bit of that in Coca-Cola, among other things. Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought?
Yeah. So
to put that in there.
I know. So it's a mild light acid. It's not a strong acid. It's weak. But you find it in a couple of food products. And it's basically just P205 dissolved in water. H3PO4.
Right. You contain that in your brain. I need to leave space for other things.
The famous line from a Vietnam movie, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That's from Good Morning
Good
Vietnam.
Good Morning Vietnam, maybe.
I think so. Best thing about James's sport is that the toughest part of my day is then over. Okay. James, how did Iran do against the U.S. in a game of battleships this weekend? Yeah, that's funny. The smell of your wife in the morning, says Wade, is a good smell. Well, in the morning? I mean, some people...
She's getting up and doing shit before... Well, that too, before
I think it's interesting. Like, some people can... They smell their partner.
If they've
been together a long
thing.
Time. Yeah, they can smell that their partner's been in a room.
Yes, that... Or sometimes you'll be in a relationship for the longest of time and all of a sudden your partner doesn't... This is not a deodorant thing or a fragrance thing or a toothpaste thing. They just don't smell right to you. And apparently that is very, so speaking about intuition, intuitive for women, especially in choosing a good breeding partner.
That's interesting.
So that there are no genetic deformalities.
They say that for women especially, they are struggling to find men attractive because a lot of men use deodorants and aftershaves and colognes and hair shampoo and skin products and things that mask their actual smell. And for women who are especially interested in that, it's kind of like a signal that they need, that they're not getting because it's being masked.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
I can understand that, yeah.
Yeah, so smells
massively
important.
That's why you must
important.
Have sex before you get married, because you'll eventually get to the smell.
Yeah, you have to. You have to get to that smell.
Once you've worn through the deodorant.
And then Gareth and his fascination with chemistry. Well, sorry. I've never smoked, but the smell of a cigarette once it's lit has twice made me want to smoke. Yeah, it's funny. There are certain... Like, I love the smell of a fireplace, but occasionally you have to open the windows because that fire smell, and I'm not talking about smoke, but the fire smell can be quite it depends on the wood that you're burning, obviously. It can be quite kind of annoying. It gets a bit annoying. You know, these Yankee candle things, which everybody has these days, smell delightful, but also can get a bit sweet and strong. You know, everything has its limits, I suppose, except vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's just perfect. Nothing can ever go wrong with vanilla ice cream. I love the smell of lemon.
Yes.
Lemon you can never ever get enough of. The taste or the smell.
And different parts of the lemon, the zest versus the juice.
Yeah, but there's something that it just, I'll never get sick of those.
Mm.
Fabric softener, baby smell. Yeah, that's good. Fabric softener is, again, designed to make your clothes smell nice. There is nothing better than getting out of the shower, especially in winter, and a towel that is dry. It's not damp from the last time it was used.
Mm.
A dry towel that smells fantastic, right? Best thing ever. Because there's nothing worse on the other side than a towel that smells disgusting.
Yeah, I've stopped using fabric softener.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I find it can be really irritating to my skin.
Oh.
And so the problem is that you end up having quite a bit of static in your clothes, which isn't ideal, but you can get rid of that with hairspray.
Women are attracted to taller men because they understand that they emit pheromones from the top of their heads and taller men will be able to smell them more. Really? I think that sounds like absolute bullshit.
That sounds like a lot
that
of shit.
That is just nonsense. Mapelo says, too many smells in a gym bathroom. I can't survive more than a minute. Any public bathroom is too disgusting already, but imagine how many more smells where people take showers as well. Listen.
Not great.
The locker room at any gym is just... It's not. And they try, hey. They use chemicals. They have the guys in there cleaning 24/7. It's just gross.
You have to remember that you're smelling sweat and what is the thing you're smelling? No,
it's not just sweat, though. It's farts. It's just gross foot stinks. It's like men, especially men in men's locker rooms, they're just fucking revolting.
And it's the temperature as well. If you're smelling like hot sweat, it's not great.
Gross, man. One of the other best smells is bacon.
Yes.
Cooking bacon.
Oh, very, very good.
That's a good smell, right? Smelling a night market in Wuhan is like GBH on your nose. I don't think you want to go to a night market in Wuhan.
No.
Can you ask Leanne to say juice again, please? My eyes were open first time she said it.
Juice.
Juice.
The juices.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. Wade says you can learn to like certain smells, like you can learn to like a beer maybe. I mean, for example, you bring up beer. I've never been a beer drinker.
Mm.
But on a hot summer's day, that first sip of a fresh beer is a nice thing. After that, yeah. I lose interest. But that first sip is awesome.
I'll have a beer around once a year on a particularly hot day, and that's, yeah. But don't give me a second one.
Yeah, agreed. Men's pheromones are in the armpits. Women's are on the head because of natural height differential.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know anything about this, so I'm not going to mock it and make fun of it because you might be right. Pine gel, says Bitcoin Blitz Smells. They use pine gel to get rid of those bathroomy smells.
Mm.
You buy it in those big tubs, right?
Yeah. And it's just you can get gross. Like pine-scented casks.
Okay.
Thingies.
Cedar sprinkled on hot rocks in a real sweat lodge is fantastic. Now that does sound good. Mm. And of course the wood that they use in a sauna is meant to be beech wood, right?
Okay.
And beech has particular aromatic properties as well, which is why it's meant to smell nice. Doesn't always, but it's meant to. The other thing is cinnamon, says Mapelo.
Mm.
That's a lovely smell too.
Apparently South Africans love cinnamon more than the rest of the world does.
Really?
We've got a bit of an obsession.
You know what is cool? Is like if I'm feeling a little bit indulgent, it doesn't really make a difference if I do have it or I don't. But occasionally to sprinkle a bit of cinnamon on your cappuccino is quite cool.
Mm.
You know, not a lot, just a little bit. So there's some there in case I want it.
Yeah.
You don't really taste it. It's more of a smell thing.
Yes.
But it's lovely. I actually think the smell of peach schnapps is quite fragrant. It still makes me heave. It's a slippery pickle. Yeah,
we didn't have much choice in those days. It was peach schnapps or all the different colors sambucas.
Oof. The smell of sambuca is not something very pleasant to me.
Mm.
Or straw rum.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
bad. You know, rum and raisin ice cream. It all smells the same.
I do like a rum and raisin. Like
you do?
A rum and raisin Cadbury's bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smell or the taste?
Both.
Okay. Pannekoek. There we go. That's probably why we use more cinnamon than anyone else.
Yeah.
Pancakes.
We use it on our fat cook.
Yeah. pancakes especially. Milk tart, don't think that really caught on in the rest of the world, says Clint from the Vol. That's also a reason we use cinnamon.
Yeah.
Milk tart's good.
It is.
Right? It's a good South African.
Although someone
dessert.
Made it on MasterChef Australia, a South African guy, and was proudly saying how this milk tart is something everyone loves in South Africa, and not one judge liked it.
Oh, sons of bitches.
A quiet taste, perhaps.
All right. Yeah, these are good smells, though. We're getting some good ones on the list. I like this.
Mm.
I reckon still top five have now got to be something like vanilla, lemon, cinnamon, chlorine.
You're still trying to get your chlorine in there.
I'm trying to get chlorine in there. Burning incense. I like to drink tea with rum in winter.
Tea with rum?
I found out something interesting yesterday. Tea is short for transport... aromatico or something. That's where it comes from.
Who knew?
Yes, because the word chai is the word that I think is used in some countries where tea is known and grown. But look it up, T-E-A, where it comes from. It's an interesting diversion from our discussion around smells. The smell of your neighbor's braai flakes. Oh, listen, the smell of a braai is just...
Oh, goodness me.
The smell of a braai is good. And if your neighbors have got a really good braai going on, that makes you super jealous.
So jealous. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's very
bad.
And
it's not the type of thing that you can quickly copy them.
No.
It takes a bit of...
takes a while. By the way, here's some more smells to add to the best smells of all time. Orange. Orange has got a very good smell, right?
A good curry.
Curry? Jasmine is another one. Mm. I love the smell of jasmine. Mm. That's how I know it's spring.
Yeah,
I know spring's just around the corner when I can smell the jasmine. And it makes people sneeze, but I love it. The nail in the coffin is people who shave in a gym bathroom and never clean the basin. Why shave in a public bathroom? This is Mapelo. He's still going on about the bathrooms. I agree with you, though, Mapelo. I'm glad you've got such a bee in your bonnet about this. I saw a dude shaving his head in the... In the gym change rooms. And then he left the basin with all of that in it. I'm like, what does your house look like, you fucking machine?
Mm.
What does your house look like? It must be a disgrace. It must look like Mogadishu.
Unless somebody's cleaning up after him, and that's why.
But even so, that poor person.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing to me how people will treat a public place and have no respect, but they'll complain about when other people do things that they don't like in their
space. Sharing office bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, please. Coriander goes in boerewors. Coriander isn't not really a smell,
though, is it? Marginalizing.
Hey, look at this. Okay, so here, favorite smells by gender. And there's a difference between men and women, although I'm struggling to find what it is. Freshly washed clothes come up with women, but not with men. That's obviously because women do all the washing, you know?
Of course we do.
fish and chips for men. Fish and chips.
Okay, well, that's a bit...
Must be British, because... Yeah, because for us it would be braai. You know, fish and chips is not even on the list. Freshly cut grass comes up at number four for both. Then men like frying bacon, women prefer vanilla. At 26% each. Then fresh coffee and then freshly baked bread. Yeah, well, Bitcoin Butt will know all about that. He bakes his own bread.
Ah, there you
and
go.
And I do love the smell of freshly baked bread. It is fantastic. Mm. I'll put that at number one.
That you're going to slice that and put on a good bit of proper butter.
Fuck yeah. Mm. A new smell that is all the rage at the moment is patchouli.
Yes, it is.
Says Tracy.
It's very trendy in fragrances at the moment. I don't know what it is. Is it a flower?
Don't know. Don't know. I know that they put vetiver and patchouli in a whole lot of colognes.
Right.
I'm a bit of a cologne freak, hey? I've got a cupboard at home with...
It is a plant,
patchouli. A lot of different colognes in it.
Yeah.
And I'll change my... whichever one I use based on my mood. So I think smell's kind of important to me.
Your patchouli, it looks very similar to lavender. Is a bush-like plant, bushy herb from the mint family.
All right.
Earthy, musky, and sweet.
That's another great smells, mint, right? Yes. That's a nice smell. Why are you blocking my comments, says Durban Doe. Are you blocking people's comments, James?
No,
it's YouTube. Oh, it's YouTube. It's not James. So calm down. The Real Network, I don't have much hair on the top, but when I shave the base and the balls at gym, I leave the basin as, leave it in the basin as well. That's what the cleaning staff are there for. That is revolting. You should be taken outside and shot. rose water, the smell of rose water, yum, says Dusty Cape Doge.
It's a bit of a weird one too. Not, you either love it or hate it. It's like coriander.
Rose water's fine. New car smell, says Goon. Mm. That's lovely. I love the smell of baked bread, says Dove. A freshly cut roosterkoek, says Tracy. I recently learned to make them. It's so awesome. Gareth, last time was the first time I smelt bread in my house because all the doors and windows were closed, and it's an amazing smell, says Bitcoin Boy. Yeah, that is really, really cool. After I had COVID, everything smelled like burnt cleaning chemicals on a hot stove for 2.5 years after.
Oh,
I couldn't
shame.
Taste for the same time frame.
Oh, how horrible.
That's horrific. The smell of cash slaps different as well, says Sugar Chamalala.
Not when it's like a rolled up dirty some, 10 rand note.
Yeah, money has a funny smell, and if it's not, if it strikes you as being dirty or unclean, very unpleasant.
I remember counting coins as a kid, and you'd have to wash your hands afterwards.
Gross.
They would come out brown.
Yeah, it was gross. The salty smell of the ocean, says Margarita. Mm. Yeah, that's a very good smell. I like this. This is a fun thing to talk about. The smell of wet cement, says Signet.
Wet cement?
That's a particular smell.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not, you know, when you've just done renovations?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I don't mind the smell of it, like plaster. The smell of plaster.
Plaster's fine, but that wet cement, like when you've got a water issue.
Uh-oh. Dirk says, I'm one of those stupid people who buy cologne every time I go through an international airport, mostly for my wife and kids. Yeah, I do too. I don't know. It's because they only sell that shit.
And because you're bored.
Yeah, probably. It's expensive, you know. Mm. I mean, it's really like some of these colognes. I've got a bottle of something which cost me 5,500 rand for the bottle. I was like, what the fuck was I thinking when I bought this? That's stupid. Anyway, I got it now. It smells fantastic, by the way. After COVID, I couldn't smell bad smells. I had to ask my husband to check the milk or the fish. I'm very, very, very particular about milk.
Milk, I'm very sensitive. I can't even smell fresh milk. I heave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was making the tea for my mom or whatever, I'd have to take the milk bottle to her to check.
What about good pipe tobacco, says Andrew? That's a good one.
Sometimes, but sometimes it can be a bit nauseating.
Very nice. Look how many smells we know, lol. Well, this is the point, right? The whole reason we got onto this conversation is because we were talking about how the machines will eventually develop a taste palette and that we'll be able to copy and paste our taste palette and other people will know exactly how we respond to certain tastes. But taste is much easier than smell. Smell is much more complicated. I mean, you just look at the variation of things that have come up in the course of this conversation. Every one of those smells elicits a completely different reaction. Each one of them is completely distinct from the others. I mean, you could say that patchouli, for example, is in the mint family, but it's a totally different smell.
Mm. I'm trying to think of things that smell terrible but taste divine. Like that, I was going to mention the seed strumming.
Oh, God.
But that, I think, tastes terrible too.
Yeah, it does.
But I think there are some things where you think, don't be put off by the smell. It tastes really good. I can't think of anything.
Well, I don't really love the smell of a KFC.
But it tastes good?
You know when you drive past a place that
the oil.
The KFC actual place doesn't, I don't like that smell.
Mm.
But you can't tell me that KFC doesn't taste nice. It does. But too nice. I haven't had any for ages, but I'm suddenly starting to think of it. You have a bucket a day. The smell of a spur from the outside, says Keith. Same kind of thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
No one's brought up the smell of a Ukrainian lady at Teasers. Hits different at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, says Tony. My granny loved spoilt milk like a delicacy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
okay, Wade. That's not good. Bebop Williams wants to know, where's the guest, James? Do you have an answer for us?
I don't. I think we're rescheduling
them. Okay. What happened to her? Is she all right? I hope she didn't fall. I've fallen and I can't get up. Come and sit down, James. Give us the sport. You said you've got something interesting to tell us. Durian fruit is like that, apparently, Leanne.
Whoa, yes, that's one. I bought some in the Seychelles. Durian fruit. It tasted really good, but it was a guy who was selling it on the side of the road, and it tasted really interesting.
Yeah.
But of course, we took it home, cut it open, continued eating it. Next morning, woke up to, what the fuck is that smell?
Oh, really? Is it horrific?
So bad.
Like rotten kind of smell?
No, it's not rotten. It's different. But it's like, this mustn't be in my nose.
So apparently Roxanne says, my brother fell off a bar stool, knocked his head and lost his sense of smell for many years.
Oh.
It was awful. I don't know. Remember during COVID, some people lost their sense of smell too. I don't know that I would want to lose my sense of smell, because you will lose taste as well.
Yes. So after my mom's stroke, she had lost her sense of taste and smell, and everything tasted like cardboard to her for a long time. And then slowly now she's obviously built different neuron.
So she's rediscovering all these
rediscovering
things.
She's rediscovering.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the taste of things.
I don't know that I would want to lose. Look, you could probably get thin very quickly, because everything tastes the same, so you'd only eat like stuff that's good for you.
Mm.
And you wouldn't have to smell unpleasant smells like paper factories or farts or sewage farms.
Paper factories, yes. Exactly.
You wouldn't have to smell those things. But I would put up with smelling the horrible things in order to smell the good things. I think it'd be very good. All right, what have you got for us, James?
Hello, guys.
What's happening?
Not much, but quite a lot in the world of sport.
You have a good weekend?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Very relaxed.
All right. Excellent.
Too short, though.
All right.
It felt very way good. Too short. But there was a lot of football this weekend.
Tell us more.
We love it. The Club World Cup is on, as you know, and I'm going to do it justice, unlike men.
All right. Well, go on.
We do love football. I do want to tell you guys about Mamelodi Sundowns, who have played two games now. They've won one, lost one.
Okay.
It's looking okay for them at the moment. They're third in their group. They're looking okay to go through to the next round. But I want
third
to
out of four places.
Third out of four. Oh. So they've got to play two more games, one more game. But I want to take you guys through the potential prize money that they could earn at this tournament, because it is eye-watering. So for a win, they get 37.5 million rand. So they've already picked
that would be up amazing.
37.5 million.
Does Patrice get any of that, or was he just carrying on plowing money in?
I was chatting to Flex about this the other day, and as far as I know, all of this money that they earn from this tournament is going to the players.
Okay,
which is good. I mean, it's
sure
deserved. So yeah, that's a win, 37.5 billion rand. A draw, 18.7 million rand, which is about $1 million. So win or draw, they stand to walk away with quite a lot of money at this tournament. If they make it to the round of 16, they will walk away with 140 million rand. The quarterfinals, 246 million rand. The semifinals, 393 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win the entire thing, they will walk away with 750 million rand.
That's huge.
You forget the money aspect when you see people celebrating.
That's got to be
won.
That's got to be one of the best paying sports events for the people 100%. Involved on planet Earth.
As far
who's
as
putting
I know,
up all this money?
It's FIFA, obviously.
Jesus.
Corrupt FIFA.
They've got a ton of cash.
As far as I know, it's the biggest prize pool FIFA have done in a tournament so far.
Unbelievable.
Which is huge.
I'm actually kind of annoyed. I'm like pissed off that these guys get that kind of a payday.
See, sport isn't that stupid.
You can live a pretty good life. It's not stupid. No, it's not stupid. Okay, good for them. I hope they win.
So do I. So they are third in their group. They got one game left to go. But yeah, they played a really good game this weekend against Borussia Dortmund, who are a top European side. They were winning at one point, but that game ended 4-3 to Dortmund. Again, top European side. For Sundowns to play the way they did was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of South Africans just shining, this past weekend a South African 13-year-old was signed by Chelsea.
Oh, wow.
Chelsea Football Club. After the likes of City, Man United, Arsenal and Liverpool being interested in him, Chelsea have signed him for about 17 million.
Is this the kid that you told me about? The one that... Yeah, Camden Shaper.
That's the one, yes.
He's a 13-year-old football prodigy. He's from Banani Butt. Set to join Chelsea for a reported £700,000 after attracting interest from major clubs like Manchester City and United and Liverpool and a bunch of others. Having impressed at Blackburn Rovers with 45 goals and 65 assists in a season, and he's 13.
Yeah.
Okay. His journey from local fields to international attention has inspired many South Africans, with many celebrating his rise as proof of the country's world-class talent. His move to Chelsea's youth academy marks a major step, blah, 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 blah. Okay, good for you, dude.
We don't have a lot of South African exploits in the world of football.
Camden Shaper.
Yeah, pretty big news, 13-year-old to do that.
All right.
Would you, as a parent, obviously you're super proud of a son who's, you know, this particular person. But the stuff that's going to come with it now is a lot of work. Would you rather have a child that was kind of just average and got on with things every day normally or now? I mean, can you imagine the level of parental involvement?
Sure.
Going Who wants an average child?
Traveling and
oh,
everything.
Please. Dude. This kid, if he's as talented as he seems to be, he's going to have a really cool life. And if he's disciplined and his parents care about him, they can go and move there with him and shepherd him through the whole thing.
I hope that is the case. I hope he is disciplined about it. And it's not a, okay, you've signed now.
Oh, please.
Then.
What's the worst again? So they push a bit hard or the parents have become a nightmare or what? It could happen. But I always think when these sports people who've got millions and millions of dollars and live in beautiful parts of the world and they get hot wives, they have lovely lives, there's nothing wrong. And they're, oh, well, my parents forced me to play tennis every day. Shut up. You got to do something. You got to play tennis. Some of us work in the mines. Down in the mines. In the mines. And we don't have that much fun. You know, oh, Venus and Serena Williams. Well, my dad was so mean. He pushed us. Andre Agassi. Oh, it was so hard. My dad pushed me. Where? Shut up. You played tennis. You got paid to. Tiger Woods. My dad was so mean. You played golf. What a fun way to make money.
I agree, actually.
Stop fucking moaning. Yeah, carry on.
I think that's the world of football. The world of rugby. Yes. British and Irish Lions played this weekend. They played Argentina. They lost 24-28. The British and Irish Lions are now going to Australia. They'll be there until August. They'll play a few games against some Super Rugby teams as well as the Australians. And then also in the world of rugby, the Boks are back next weekend against the Barbarians in Kaapstad.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the sport. I mean, there's quite a bit more happening in the Club World Cup, but games are happening thick and fast. So that's where my eyes are the whole week.
So do you think that there's an accent in the South and in the East, because they're quite similar. The East and the South are quite similar. And we're talking about Joburg here, so anyone who's confused, we're not talking about everyone south of here.
Yeah, yeah.
The South of Joburg is a very different kind of place.
No, they can be very similar.
They are, huh?
Although, the only kind of reference I have, you know, because I would have been surrounded by South accents growing up in the South. So. But then when I met my to-be husband.
Yes.
His accent caught me off guard. Why? He's from the East.
Oh.
So it must be different in some way.
Okay.
Because I said to him, which school did you go to? And he said, Edvar.
What?
Edvar.
What the fuck is that?
Which is Edenvale High.
Edvar. Just say it again.
Edvar. So it must be different.
Say it again.
Edvar.
Edvala.
There's no L. Edvaha.
All right. And then how would you say Monjor?
Monjor.
Monjor.
Yeah.
That's Mondior, by the way, for anyone who's not from the South.
It's Monjor.
Monjor.
Yeah.
And what other words do you think are particular and peculiar to the South? Because if I think about Joburg,
It's Glen Vista. You know,
there's a four ways accent. So people in the north mustn't get full of themselves and start thinking that they're in any way superior. People in the north of Johannesburg also have terrible accents. And then, of course, you get the West, where they don't even speak languages. They just use grunts and moans.
It's very Afrikaans sounding.
No, it's much more animal sounding.
But that's where those are the briars where I've been confused before, and I've started speaking in Afrikaans to someone, but they're not Afrikaans.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there is a difference. 100%.
And we've had the discussion about the four ways accent, so we won't go into that now. But the South is probably the most unique.
How do you say Melbarton?
Melbarton. Okay, but that's not that exciting.
I'm looking at areas in the south.
Oh, right. Glen Vista.
Glen Vista.
This is the most fun. I could play this game all day long. Just give people words. It will be a long road before South Africa gets into Formula One again, if at all, says Dirk. Current calendar and tracks are locked for a few years. Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but I know Gayton's trying very hard to get us a Formula One back in South Africa.
The owner of the Kyalami racetrack is taking on the costs to upgrade the track.
I believe so.
Under his own pay or whatever, which I assume he'll be paid back tenfold when they do bring a Grand Prix here, probably.
Lebo Makatihela says, the South rules. Oh, the South. And Carl DeSanto says, I'm born and bred South, but spelt S-A-A-A-A-A-T-H.
Yes.
Half Leb, half Pora. I'm somewhat of an expert.
Friend of mine from the South. it's so funny saying that. Used to call it Eat Out.
Eat Out.
Which is Eat Out magazine. Eat Out.
Eat Out.
It's just, you know, you want to be featured in Eat Out.
Eat Out. I love this so much. This is my favorite thing now. We're going to get Michaela to say a lot more words from the South, all right?
And there's, thinking of the subjects, there's geography.
Eat Out.
Geography?
Geography.
Geography, yeah. Yeah, geography.
I think that might be pretty standard.
I think that's across the country mostly. Yeah. People don't know how to say it. Eat at.
Eat at.
That.
I love it. Okay, all right. We're going to call it quits at this point. Otherwise, we'll be here all morning. But we'll get Michaela to do another video.
We must.
This time, we'll write the words down and get her to say what they are.
Another word she said was ask?
Ox.
Ox.
Did she say ox? Did she
That's
say ox?
That's a thing that kids have taken on.
Simpiwe does that sometimes. She goes ox.
Ox.
It's a thing that the younger generation has taken on from Americans.
Oh, so it's on purpose.
It's on purpose.
Okay. Ox.
Ox, yeah. It's not because your parents said it. It's because you're watching American TV.
Oh, apparently it's not a he. Kyalami is owned by Porsche.
Mm. Cool. Didn't know that.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a happy day and a great week. And we will see you on Wednesday at 6 a.m. Bye.